is ATS Mix.
What? Whoa, whoa, what am I hearing?
What is this?
From above, topsecret.com.
Oh, crap!
Featured interview, the owner's box with Skeptic Overlord, a.k.a. Bill.
Well, Johnny, I'm really excited because we get an opportunity to really start a neat segment that I think we're going to do probably about every other week. But it's really exciting because it's been a long time since I was able to really talk to the Amigos. It dates back to when I did the Amigos interview with them. But we're going to start a segment that I think the membership is really going to enjoy, and that is going to be called the Owner's Box. So, John, what do you think? You think this is going to be a fun interview?
Oh, absolutely, my friend.
Do you really? What are you doing over there? Are you on no-dos?
No, sir. What were you expecting? I'm sorry.
I'm doing somersaults now! Oh, it's the Amigo!
John,
boy, am I excited about this!
Excuse me while I... Hello?
Hello?
Anyway, we're very privileged to have one of our bosses on the line with us right now, who we affectionately know as Bill, but who goes by the Amigo name of Skeptic Overlord. Hi, Bill. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm a little worried about Johnny.
We all are worried about Johnny. In fact, ask any
I'm excited. I can't help myself.
Yeah, ask any moderator. They're all worried about John. I don't know.
You can't get him off that white powder.
If we could only convince him that it's really baby powder, we'd be okay. But no, he still thinks.
What you guys don't know is that's just glucosamine for my joints.
Oh, was that what it's called?
Well, that didn't come out right either, did it?
God, you're such a sick puppy. You know, you're a sick puppy.
Just sprinkle it in a little bit before you lick it shut. You're okay, right? Is that what?
Yeah. That's what he needs to do. But, you know, I mean, Bill, we got a lot of exciting things going on at the site. I mean, you know, I mean, the transition and all the new things, PR companies and, you know, the ATS Mix show is really catching on like leaps and bounds. And so can you kind of give us an insight into what the members are kind of experiencing right now in the transition between the old AboveTopSecret.com and the vision of the Above Network and where we're all headed?
Okay, sure. that's a tall order. But yeah,
I know.
It seemed as though this transition, they really didn't experience much, did they? Just boom, it happened.
Yeah, really. It was fast.
Look, and that sort of doesn't reveal all the chaos that went on behind the scenes. And there's been behind-the-scenes chaos since 2003 that a lot of our contemporary members just don't know about. It's been one hell of a ride for HT Technologies since Simon and I first decided to, well, let's see if we can turn this website into something back. Right. I don't know if we talked about this. Yeah, I think we did touch this when you did the Three Amigos interview.
Yeah, when we did the interview, we you know, the background and stuff about how you and Simon connected and stuff. But I know there's that where we are today is light years beyond what you guys originally conceived.
Yeah, we were back in early 2003, and that's really not that long ago. You know, 4 years and a few months. Right. Yeah, we were happy with 100 visitors a day. And we thought, this site could be something. We're getting a couple hundred people a day. Wow, that's great. What did we know?
Really.
And what was it? It was April 2003 when we got the first server. It was some crappy little Pentium thing. And as soon as we turned that on, we go, ooh. You know, all of a sudden we got a lot more users. We were up to a few hundred a day. And I was looking back in the old threads back from that time, and it was like a few days after we first turned on the new server, because what was happening before then is we were on shared hosting service, and we couldn't accommodate the traffic we were getting. We kept exceeding the bandwidth allocation of provider we had. So we got the server, and like immediately more people could start getting to ATS. And we celebrated it, and like a few days after we launched, we had like 700 visitors in one day. And we thought that was the greatest thing that ever happened. And right now we do that in about 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
It's amazing. I mean, it really is.
Yeah. And ever since then, it's been a constant struggle to keep up. It has literally been, you know, like the proverbial snowball rolling downhill. As soon as we start throwing more horsepower at ATS, more people demand visiting ATS. We throw more, we reach a limit, we throw more horsepower, and we get more people. It's just, it's been crazy. I have literally gone bald over this. It's just pulling my hair out. I can't tell you. It's just been nuts. It could, and when I was looking in the, like I said, looking in the old threads, and in October of 2003, that's what? That's just 6 months later. We're getting another server. We outgrew the first server. It's time to get a Xeon class server, and in just 6 months. So that's just, I couldn't believe it. Then we from there, it took about another, we got another Xeon server in October, and then we had our biggest day ever. You know, we're dancing in the streets on the site, 70,000 page views in one day and 9,000 visitors. We were just, you know, having a happy dance. We thought that was great.
Wait. You said 9,000 visitors in one day?
Yeah, ooh.
Well, that's a buttload, Bill,
for a
lot of sides.
Yesterday,
you know, that's a buttload.
Yesterday, we had 62,000.
God almighty. Wow.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that is unbelievable. And it's been like that ever since we launched, where we attract more people and the members respond to all these features and technology and post all this good stuff, and we just keep attracting more and more people. And the evolution of the technology has gone from there. We went to a two-server setup where we had all the sites on one server and a database server, and then that wasn't enough, and we added another website server, so we had two web servers and a database server. We didn't have load balancing at that point. We had
let me do a sidebar. What is load balancing? I've heard the term, but what does load balancing mean, Bill?
It's when I'm on one side and Mark is on the other.
Yeah, but we're not talking about riding donkeys. I'm talking about as far as the site goes.
Right. It's actually a relatively simple idea, but it can get really complicated when you actually try to do it. You would have multiple servers that serve one or a collection of websites, and in between the servers and the internet or the people browsing is a thing called a load balancer. And what it has, it's smart enough to know which server is busy. And every time a new visitor comes or a new request comes, depending on how you configure it, it sends that request to the least busy server.
Ah, okay.
And if one of the servers would happen to crash, then it knows that server has crashed and it doesn't send any traffic to that server.
And it does that all in nanoseconds, right?
Yeah, not even. It's just, you know, nano of a nanosecond. I mean, it's just so fast. It doesn't slow anything down at all.
Wow.
So
no one would notice that at all?
Not at all.
No.
Do you notice it now?
No, not at all. No.
In fact, I can't wait till you get up to present day, because I mean, it's just blazing compared to what it was last, you know, a couple of days ago. And I mean, I thought a couple of days ago was a miraculous speed.
Yeah, we had then we progressed to all of the above topsecret.com board was dedicated to one server, and everything else below top secret and above politics was on another server, and the images hosting and things like that. So we split it up that way. We didn't have load balancing yet because you know that costs about another $150 per server, depending on how you're set up to get the load balancing running. And as you know, over the past few months, we started to continue to have problems. We started to roll back on some of the features because the traffic was just maxing out that database server. And that's really where the most important thing is the horsepower of the database, because everything on the website, every single stupid little podcast that's stored out to the monster SERPO threads is all in the database. And if the database can't serve those requests and shoot the data back to the web server fast enough, everything slows down. It doesn't matter how fast the web servers are, the database server can slow everything down. And that's what we were encountering in our last setup, where the database server was constantly running at peak capacity.
Right.
And if we happen to get a spike in traffic, then, you know, literally we're just gritting our teeth waiting for it to crash.
Well, let me give you a hypothetical question, if I can, sir. How much traffic would there need to be currently with the system that you've just set up for it to start to bog it down? I mean, how upgraded are you? Where would you foresee there being a hiccup in the future?
Yeah.
hypothetical build, of course.
Yeah, of course, hypothetical. We thought that our last setup would take us to the future and beyond. Phone's ringing.
That may be our X man.
Yeah, that's Agent X. Let me get that real quick. I'll
oh, sure. Oh, somebody else calling too.
I love it live. See, when you talk to the boss, folks, you get all these little distractions.
See, I turn my cell phone off.
Yeah. For this. Well, see, it's probably Mark calling you up, wanting to know if you know how the interview went or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he's feeling left out is what it is.
He is not very happy that he's going second.
Well, that's why I jumped in. I had to be first. I just had to be first, just to piss him off.
He did a good job, I think
so. He's easy to piss off, too. It's just, you know, I'm sure you've noticed that.
I talk to him every day. Are you kidding? Yeah. I mean, he's gotten testier. You know, he's gotten testier.
Well, he's usually testy probably after he gets off the phone with me.
Well, if it's around 4:30, that's when he calls me.
Yeah. So anyway, where we are now is, and this, I'm sure you guys are riveted, and everyone is just riveted at this stupid
geek. I am. Here.
But you know, a lot of, thinking, yeah, but let me do it. Hey, wait, Bill. But you know, you say that tongue in cheek, I know. But you know, honest to God, you know, I mean, it took me 10 years, 12 years, 13 years to get comfortable with a PC. And a lot of people that know how to log on don't even have a clue all the behind the scenes. It's like the moderator segment that we just did. You know, we've had a buttload of U2Us, I have especially, you know, saying, wow, we are so glad that you guys did that thing with the moderators. We didn't realize, you know, this, and this.
We didn't realize the moderators had voices.
they thought it was NSA coming in there and just with little puppet masters or whatever. But I mean, I think people will find this interesting because, you know, when you're talking about the kind of power to have people with, what do you say, 90,000 hits in a day or 90,000 visits or whatever, I mean, God, that's an amazing amount of power.
You know, I guess. And it's sure, why not? I tend to get wrapped up in it, and you did such a great job of BSing how this could be so exciting. So I guess I might as well continue the conversation.
Yeah, that can you act like you're a little bit excited about it? Yeah.
Since I've been in advertising for a long time and on the technology side of advertising and online, I tend to have a sensitivity for how quickly I can bore people talking about this. So, I said the bad word, didn't I?
Well, that's okay. See, you're the boss.
You could put a beep on that.
You're the boss.
Anyway, so where we are now and the new servers is, yes, we do have a cluster that is load balanced. And that's a buzzword that you can use in mixed company. At a cocktail party, they'll just think you're a hot
cluster.
You say server cluster. Oh, yeah, that's the shits. That's the best.
I've also heard it expressed another way, but we won't go into that.
No, that's not that cluster. Anyway, so we have three pretty powerful web servers all behind a load balancer, and each of those has two CPUs in it to man. And the way that helps things is the operating system and the CPUs can do a thing called multi-threaded, where there's multiple requests all happening at the same time. So we can just go crazy with the web servers. But then, then the database server. I mean, I've talked about this to people I know, and literally because it's been on the phone, I've heard hardcore geeks just, you know, I could hear them vibrating with excitement on the other end of the line.
And drooling, yeah.
Yes, drooling, yes. Yeah. Stop that. You're killing your phone. we have our database server has 8 CPUs and and 8 gigabytes of RAM and a 15,000 RPM hard drives. That's the fastest spinning hard drives.
So are you running SCSIs?
These are indeed a SCSI. It's,
yeah, because that's about the only ones I know that can handle the 15,000 RPMs.
Right, and they are in a RAID 10 array, and they are hot swappable. RAID. So one of those drives could go bad, and the tech could go over while the site is running, yank it out, and stick another one in, and the server would not go down, and it would immediately recover and copy data to the drive. Same thing with the power supplies. We have two power supplies that are hot swappable. If one would go bad, they just swap in a new one, and we don't have to turn it off.
Right.
So it is hardcore. But on top of that, on top of the 8 processors and all the RAM and all that speed, also the fastest RAM that we could possibly get into those things, it's running the 64-bit CentOS 5 version operating system, which is screaming fast, and the latest version of the MySQL database server. And what I did is yesterday was actually a pretty busy day. As I said, we had over 60,000 visitors, which is very close to our busiest day ever. And we also served, I forget how many pages we served yesterday, but it was a boatload. It was well over 300,000 page views for yesterday.
Golly.
Yes.
Wow. And man, I am so jealous.
we tend to serve an average of 5 pages per visitor. Yesterday was around 5.4, so 5.4 times 60 is, that gives you over 300,000.
Oh, right. Wow.
And so I'm watching the database server, and there's this little command line thing that you can type in on the Linux control panel on the server, and it gives you a status of each of the 8 processors. So we're humming along at a really busy time in our peak period yesterday, about 9 p.m., and each of those CPUs was running around 90% idle.
90%. Oh, idle. Golly.
Wow. There were.
Well, that's astronomical. That's a buttload of capacity then.
And before we launched, we did a load test. We couldn't actually afford a full-fledged service, but we had a couple machines hammering our site, and we were able to simulate almost 100 immediately simultaneous users, and that's very different than the real world 100 simultaneous users that might be hitting the website, because if you have 100 people on the website, they're not all clicking stuff at the same time.
At the same time, right.
Yeah, these simulated users were clicking something every 10 milliseconds.
Golly, yeah.
And
really putting it through his praises.
Yeah, we didn't get past I think it was a 0.4 on the total server load. And the total and on this machine, typically the server load needs to get to 8 before you're concerned. We didn't pass 0.4.
Golly.
So doing the math, this setup, theoretically, getting back to the question that you asked,
an hour ago?
Yeah.
The hypothetical question.
Of how many.
I'm kidding.
We calculate we could anticipate the capacity to handle about 20 times yesterday's traffic.
Wow.
So
now that's very
20 times 300,000?
20 times 60,000 users.
Okay, that's 600. What's that, 12 million?
1.2 in a day.
Take it. Wow.
Well, Bill, I mean.
Hypothetical, of course.
Yeah, well, of course. All right, but now here's where I want to go right now with you on this, because I think this will be interesting. I mean, several months ago, you and Mark and Simon, you kind of got this concept of what you had a vision of that you wanted the Above Network LLC to become.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, what do you think the future of AboveTopSecret.com is, Bill?
Well, the future.
In what you see, how do you visualize us 10 years from now or 5 years from now or 3 years from now or whatever?
Well, I can tell you one thing, that 5 years ago, anyone predicting anything internet-related is wrong today. And 10 years ago, anyone predicting anything internet-related 5 years from then is wrong. So it really is hard to look ahead. Even though the internet world is settling in and becoming more predictable now than it ever was, it's still hard. I mean, it really is new. And when I was,
it's an evolving entity, isn't it?
Yes. And when I was a suit wearing advertising idiot, I used to help clients understand the internet in a way where, imagine you're in, see, the internet now is like how television was in 1955.
Okay.
And imagine in 1955 predicting cable TV.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Predicting HBO. You know, predicting the Turner Network, the TNT channel, and predicting that on cable TV, you'd be able to run local commercials on national networks targeted to households based on the little box that's on top of their TV. Right. So it really is hard to look that far down the road. What you have to do is just have that particular vision for ATS, where some of it's kind of still super secret.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, we're not, obviously we don't want to divulge anything, but I mean,
it all revolves around what we've coined, and I don't think we've coined this phrase. I just think we're using it more than anyone else. Is this idea of a user-generated content ecosystem?
And that
ecosystem is ATS, where we have a crowd who is beginning to influence certain topics, and it has evolved to the point where the crowd that is ATS members, or you know, pretty much you could take, it's not just ATS, it's any site that's like ATS where it's focused on certain topics. Those people have become the new experts. They're surpassing the experts of individual fields because the collective knowledge exceeds the knowledge of any single expert. So the crowd that is ATS has become the expert on let's say, UFOs. I mean, look at what's happening with those drone threads. You know, you know, our members are just killing that whole thing and really digging into what it really could be. And the same thing with the UFO at the O'Hare Airport. Our members just were all over that. And more happened with that topic on ATS than any place else. And that's, you know, that's where the internet has become powerful, in sites like ATS, where we have this crowd of people that make a whole new collective expertise very important and very interesting. And it's that concept of the ecosystem of this crowd of people being experts on a number of topics, collectively experts, where we feel the future of ATS really is something special. And that will manifest itself in several ways. One, hopefully, is with you guys, where, you know, ATS Mix evolves into something fantastic, maybe even something that people can tune into every night on their radio and interact with both online and on air. And talk with you guys on the website before the show and come up with new ideas. And that's how the ecosystem could evolve this.
Tell me about the new video thing. People have asked are asking us all the time, and we really don't know a lot. We kind of have some concept, but the new video thing that you guys are starting, what's it all about?
Well, that's going to be interesting. We're working with a company now where we're trying to get an average of one new full title. The test has been very successful, by the way. They're very happy with the traffic and how our members have responded.
Right.
And it's really a very simple idea, where we're going to bring, we're not going to be like, we don't want to be like YouTube or Google Video where anyone can post anything. We want material of substance. Just like ATS, is everything is of substance. You know, you can't do a one-liner post that says "Mew" and, you know, "I agree with you." You know, we really want substance, and that's what the videos will be. Hopefully this provider will be able to give us one new full title every week. On a number of topics.
Wow.
He's got a couple Area 51 topics that he's looking at right now and getting the permission to post on ATS as the first full title. And already the members have responded to the titles we've seen. And he's got a few others and also some topics that work real well in Above Politics. But the key here is that somebody who helped create that video, whether it's the producer or the writer or some other key behind-the-scenes person, will become active in ATS. They will participate in the discussion throughout about their title, so that our members have the unique opportunity to interact with the person who created that video or a person from the team and get more information, talk about it, and possibly even brainstorm with this person about their next title.
Oh wow, that would be neat.
And then their next title is posted to ATS, and we have this continual loop of new ideas happening on ATS. And that will evolve to the point where we're getting close to enable anyone who is a professional or semi-professional or accomplished amateur videographer to post a title, video title to ATS. And it really is very simple where, we're looking to post a title where, we'll have like 12 to 20 minute clips, and we'll put video advertising in the front of that clip. Right. And we'll just split the advertising right down the middle with the person who owns the video. Yeah, it's a complete 50-50 share of the advertising. Because it takes some bandwidth to host these things. So we obviously have to pay for that. And we'd like to make a little money on top. But 50% of what we're seeing could be a decent little side income for somebody who has these things and who can crank these out.
And isn't it kind of a thing that could really evolve to something to where, like you say, the person puts their video on and not only are you being able to showcase whatever their creation is, but, as you said, they can come in there to the site. They can actually sit there and have a live interaction with whoever, the director, the producer, whoever happens to be with a thing. I mean, that just gives you all kinds of possibilities, doesn't it, Bill?
That's the magic that we're looking for, right, where the ATS members become involved in the conversation about the video with someone from the team who created it, and hopefully that conversation evolves into ideas for another video that eventually gets posted to ATS.
Wow. Well, what do you got? You got anything that you want to bring us up to date on, or any kind of new little toys that you got? I know you got toys out the gazoo. One thing I got a question on. Isn't the host of the BuffTopSecret.com system like somewhere in my territory?
Yeah, it's down in Texas, our new provider. We were previously with a company called The Planet, and we still have one server there. And we probably will keep that as our sort of auxiliary server. But our new provider is a company called SoftLayer, and they are also in Texas. I don't know why there's so many internet providers in Texas, providers of leased machines. But, yeah, they're all over the place. There's a few in Chicago. But on a per capita basis, Texas seems to be just booming.
Did you ever? I'm sure you have, Bill, because of your technical background. But did you ever just go into one of those places and just walk through and just be blown away by this huge, like a mainframe system kind of thing? It's just row after row after row after row after row of things. I did. I had an opportunity a couple of months ago to a friend of mine that's in the software business. I was with him, and we went into one of these facilities that do this hosting thing. And my Lord, I was just blown away. It's just mind-boggling. People don't even have a clue, when you're talking about just the ATS system alone is mind-boggling. But you multiply that times 500 or 1,000 or 10,000 people that they're hosting, it's just mind-boggling.
Yeah, I've been at a few computer rooms, but they've almost always been the systems dedicated to one particular company. I've never been to one of these gigantic hosting centers. I've seen pictures, but I've never been to the monster data centers.
Okay, well, but before we kind of exit out of this first session,
well, you asked me if I had any toys.
Oh yeah, you never told me.
Well, you took over with your freaking story about the mainframe room.
I know. Sorry, it was a sidebar. Go ahead.
No, I don't.
Well, that's a downer. John, come on, help me. You got to have a question.
Oh, no, I'm rooting for Bill on this end.
Bite me.
Now, the only thing really is I bought a new iMac for home here to help with the sites because my poor little laptop was getting crunched out. So I got a big screen iMac, and that's pretty much. By the way, I think everyone knows by now that I am a Mac user. I don't use PCs, but what's cool about the new Macs is they can also run Windows. And so right now I have I'm able to switch back and forth just with the click of a mouse between Windows and the Mac operating system, which is very cool. That's a pretty neat little toy. And it even plays some pretty good even plays games on the Windows platform very well.
Do you play games? Do you ever have time to play games?
No, you know what? And I used to play a few games, but I really never got into the first-person shooters. And a lot of people do. You know, Mark is just what he's World of Warcraft.
Oh God, is he ever?
Yeah, he's just so into that. I played it a few times, and I'm just, you know, oh, that's it. Okay, and never mind. You know, I just couldn't get into it. I was more into strategy games. You know, games where you have to think. You know, like Civilization, yeah. SimCity, things like that. You know, Mark just wants to frag people and be on with it. Well, no, I said frag, which is the,
yeah. is the proper term, by the way.
Yeah. It is the proper term. However, yes, Mr. Abbott is, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Sorry. I know what you said. Frag. Like, you know, frag.
That,
frag.
F-R-A-G-G. That immediately made you, and of course, you being you, that immediately, you know, your brain went, Johnny and I are over here. And
I know. I went south.
Actually, I'm the guy that's standing over in the corner just kind of waving every once in a while.
Okay, John, jump in here and ask Bill a question.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
Well, oh, wait. There is one other thing about the sites that is very cool that we finished.
Damn you, Bill. Shut me down twice now.
No, this is really a shut me down twice. No, but this is cool. This is something that a lot of people have said they noticed right away. And
I'll be over here in the corner.
Yeah. Well, no, you can come back. I'll wait for you to come back when it's time.
All right.
We moved almost all of our image hosting over to what's called the distributed hosting service, and all of our images are no longer on one of our servers. They're on like 20 something servers all across the globe, and that means they'll come to you much faster because they come from a server that's regionally closer to you, especially if you're somebody in Canada or the UK or even Australia.
Right.
And already a lot of people are saying that the site is just literally loading instantly for them because all the images are loading so much faster. And that's something new also that will really speed ATS up for all of the new visitors that we're getting, because now our servers don't need to be worried about the load of serving things like the images. And soon the podcast will be on this, and also soon all the videos will be on this service as well.
Well, before John jumps in, there is one thing that I really like that's back. And that's the views.
Yes.
You know, and I mean, you know, membership has bitched and moaned about this ever since you knocked it off because of saving the power or whatever.
Right.
Now but I, for one, want to thank you. And I know there are hundreds and hundreds of ATS members that want to thank you also, because I think that's how, at least when I joined AboveTopSecret.com, that was how you gauged if what you were saying in a post was worth a crap, if you will, right. You know, because if it had a lot of views, you know, a lot of people said, well, that was interesting.
That's worth
and
it.
If it had like three, you went, boy, that sucked. I, you know, maybe I need to, you know, change my course of action. So thank you for that, Bill.
I just had three or four, by the way, which was, anyway, you're welcome.
John, here's Johnny.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, when I first got shut down, I was going to ask the question about other video-generated users and slash producers that were going to be offering their stuff, and what kind of features were you going to be working with them. But then again, you answered that, so that shot down that question, so there was no need for me to ask that. So I thought I would go off into a different tangent, if you don't mind. I know that a lot of our listeners and members here at AboveTopSecret.com may not have had the opportunity to catch some of the earlier interviews with you and the rest of the Amigos. So I thought I would like to take a little side road here and possibly introduce the members here as to how you actually got involved with AboveTopSecret.com and your meeting with Simon Gray.
Oh.
And so that is a question.
Okay, that's good. Somewhere in the deep, dark recesses of ATS, I mentioned once what my username was on the very first ATS discussion board. And I will give 50,000 points to the member who is able to find that and reply in this podcast thread what my very first name was on ATS. And a little bit of a hint, I'm talking about the name on the very first board, and that's the Easy Board system. And
yeah, which they're still able to access those archives, right?
Yeah, there are some out there, but I did mention once in a thread on ATS what my name was. And I think I only made maybe two posts. I was much more of a lurker and a reader of ATS back then. I think I only posted once or twice. And then when ATS transitioned to the icon board, I think it was just like 2 months before 9/11.
Wow.
Yeah. I started to become more active. Maybe only, of course, you know, back then, before 9/11, you know, there would be maybe 11, 15 posts a day. And there was maybe,
wow,
maybe 20 or 25 people active, golly, on the ATS discussion board. And what's funny is there was a lot of content on the main ATS website. And up until late 2002 to 2003, a lot of people didn't know there was a discussion board on ATS, where it was, right, was some of the feedback we were getting, because we had more traffic on like Simon's Area 51 page than we had in the whole discussion board on a lot of the times. So, yeah, that was how I got involved. And then after 9/11 happened, you know, my first instinct was, wait a minute, you know, there's more to this. And I was on several sites you know, following the conspiracy speculation on online, and just, you know, ATS just seemed to have a better environment. You know, the collection of people at the time was just overall better than any place else. Right. And, you know, even back then, it was just, you know, there was something to it that was better. And that's literally how I started becoming more and more involved in ATS at the time. And, but an interesting thing that a lot of people don't realize is leading up to 9/11, there was on a few other sites, and somebody on ATS, I think his name was Falcon or Falcon 16 or something like that, he comes around every once in a while, they were talking that, you know, something is about, this is like in July of 2001. There's a lot of buzz that, right, something's about to happen. There's, you know, something
really
big. Oh, yeah. Something serious, wow, something big is about to happen. And, you know, a lot of people were predicting a false flag type of thing was going to soon happen. So that's why, yeah, that's way, way back before all the craziness of 9/11 truth and, you know, bombs in the building and no planes, right, and holograms, right, and all that stuff.
Right. I got one question, Bill, and I've heard the terminology, and I'm going to show my stupidity again, but everybody expects that from Dave. What is a false flag thing?
It's
when
a flag.
When you say false flag, what does that mean?
It's a flag that's not really a flag.
But I mean, what's the terminology relating to?
No, what it is it's a it's actually been in use a long time, but yeah, it's I can't think of a good historical example for some reason, because it's nearly 11 o'clock and I've had a couple beers. But
and normally, your honesty.
Yeah. Normally, you know, these things are just dripping right off the top of the head here. But essentially, it's an attack where the attacking party makes it look like somebody else attacked.
And, oh, okay, I got it.
And the you know, the what's ahead, the Prince Ferdinand, who was assassinated in you know, just that led into World War One. You know, that was a classic false flag where a group of people made it look like. See, that's those beers.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Never mind.
But I. Yeah. But it understand. Makes sense now. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
You make
yeah,
it look like some other country.
We made it look like the Iranians did it, and it was the Cubans that did it. Yeah. Okay. Got it. All right. That's what the false flag thing is. Got it. Yeah. And our apologies to our international friends in Iran and Cuba that are fans of the ATS Mix Show for that comment. Well, I mean, we've pretty much covered the gamut there, Bill. I mean, you know, I've learned a buttload of information. John, have you learned anything with this first segment of the Owner's Box?
Oh yes,
this is
what,
more like
what to sit in the corner and not open up, let Dave take the show.
I was waiting for you to pause every once in a while so I could stick my neck in.
I got news for you. When this podcast stops, yeah, this segment, I'm going to catch holy hell from the Johninator. My God, you didn't let me get 5 words in there for you. Anyway, this has been a very entertaining thing, I think, because this is going to be an every other week segment, and we're going to do the Markinator next in a couple of weeks, and then we're going to get the Simonator if we can find out where he is somewhere in the outskirts of the London scene over there, And then we're going to have Bill back in about, what is it, about 4 weeks. And then the future shows, once we get through the initial show with each of the Amigos, then we're going to kind of just do updates and things, and everybody will pretty much be able to have the archive to where they can go back and listen to the in-depth thing and just kind of get what's going on the site, you know, this week or whatever. But I do want to say one thing, though, Bill. You mentioned the 9/11. Now, everybody knows, and I mean, in our original interview that we did with the three Amigos, 9/11 is your thing, right?
Well,
I mean, that's where you hang out, though, right?
For the most part, it's not necessarily my thing. My, you know, what Mark's thing tends to be UFOs and paranormal.
Right, right.
My thing tends to be more.
And Simon's Area 51.
Right, and secret technologies and aircraft and things like that. And my thing tends to be more conspiracy theory. And 9/11 is part of my thing. I wouldn't say 9/11 is my thing, but it's in the category of my thing.
It's your thing. Do what you want to do. Sorry,
I didn't mean to, sort of make it mysterious, but no, yeah, I am fascinated with the 9/11 conspiracy speculation. I tend to have some pretty firm opinions about that, but I think if I relate my opinions, I'm going to piss off too many ATS members and.
Yeah, and we want to keep those load-bearing servers working, so we don't want to tick them off.
Right. No, I really tend to agree with what a lot of ATS members are saying about the conspiracy side of things. But where I have been, and I even made a podcast on this subject, where I have been sort of leaning on these conspiracy theories is, yes, it's fascinating to look at these theories and speculate based on the limited bit of data we have on what kind of conspiracies there might be. But we really shouldn't, you know, a lot of people on ATS, not so much on ATS, but a lot of other sites out there, it almost seemed as though people are so enthusiastic about these conspiracies that they almost wish they were true.
And get overwhelmed by them.
Right, and that's just it. We don't want these to be true. I would love it if these conspiracies were proven false and our worst fears there was nothing to our worst fears. That would be fantastic.
Right.
But as it is, that's not necessarily the case. There are still a lot of things that cause us concern, and we look into them. And we have a lot of questions. So until there's no more questions, we're still going to be looking.
And that's what makes AboveTopSecret.com the number one conspiracy theory in the entire world. That concludes this first edition of the Owner's Box. We hope everybody enjoyed that, and we would love you to post your comments on the thread that will be on this particular interview segment. And if you have any questions for Bill, a.k.a. Skeptic Overlord, please be sure and put them there so that he can maybe answer those questions, rather, on his future segments of the Owner's Box. So on behalf of myself, Dave Rabbit,
and yours truly wants to remind you, as I try to get the last word here, that Bill also offered anybody that could find out who his original name was on AboveTopSecret.com that he's going to give you, an incredible plethora of points. How many points was that again, Bill?
50,000.
There you go.
There's a skeptic voice I love.
Boy, that's worth looking into the archives for. And anyway, I enjoyed this tremendously, and I can't wait for our next one. And so I'm Johnny Anonymous.
And I'm Dave Rabbit.
And I'm the Skeptic Overlord.
And we'll see you next time.
Being a part of the first Owner's Box.
ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com is over.
You've been listening to the ATS Mix with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of ATS Mix, please contact Dave or Johnny at www.AboveTopSecret.com. The views expressed on ATS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the Above Network, LLC, or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening. You may now reattach your tinfoil hat.